Hello everyone, this is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend commodity newsletter for Sunday, November 27th. And first off, please excuse my raspy voice tonight, I have a cold. Okay, so let's get started. First off, in item number one at the top of this newsletter, you can see that I have a lot of text here. And as you can see with the table of contents at the top, this newsletter is divided into four major sections. Number one, we'll do a general discussion. And we're going to look at ES futures, which are up quite a bit tonight, and we'll also look at the euro dollar, which the market is moving relative to. Number two, we'll look at the general market, the S&P 500 daily, 60-minute and 15-minute views, as well as an indicator, the McClellan oscillator. Generally, I don't look at this stuff in the commodity newsletter, but you know, when we look at everything, all the charts, everything appears to be moving together, and so I want to cover the general market here because whatever the general market does, I think it's going to spill over into commodities. Number three, we'll go ahead and jump into the commodities. We'll look at the CRB commodity index. It represents a basket of commodities. We'll look at crude oil and energy stocks. And lastly, number four, we'll look at gold, metal, and GDX, as well as copper. And also, you can see I have some text here, but let's go and get started here. First off, I hope everyone had a nice, long weekend. As you know, it was Thanksgiving on Thursday, at least in the U.S. Of course, we have a lot of other members from around the world, you know, who don't have Thanksgiving. But again, nice long weekend for those of us in the U.S. And, you know, I debated about whether I should do a newsletter or not tonight because, as you know, I did a newsletter on Friday, and Steve did the weekend general market newsletter. So really nothing's changed since those newsletters. But decided to go ahead and look at a few things here. And again, as you're going to see here tonight, pretty much everything is moving lockstep together. You know, whether it's the S&P and Dow, energy stocks, the euro dollar, GDX, copper, etc. They all look pretty similar on their 60-minute charts with some potential divergences in place. A lot of things have retraced about 61.8% of the October rally, which is a Fib number. So there's, you know, things are quite oversold in the short term. So the market's definitely due for a bounce here. And as I'm going to show here, the futures are currently up tonight about 22 points, the ES S&P 500 futures. And of course, this comes on some positive news out of Europe about a stability pact between Germany and France, etc. Again, I have the news article in this newsletter here at the top. As we know, the market has been, you know, looking at reacting to anything coming out of Europe. The market's been extremely volatile. You have these huge gaps seemingly every day, either up or down. The majority of the market moves over the last few months have occurred overnight or over in Europe, and then they spill over into the U.S. with a big gap. You know, so most of the moves really aren't occurring during the day here in the U.S. They're occurring overnight. You know, a lot of us futures traders joke that we should just stay up overnight and trade and sleep during the day. And in fact, I know some traders who do that, or they make some futures trades at night on ES, because again, that's where the moves are occurring. Now tonight, futures, instead of moving, have actually gapped up quite a bit and are up about 22 points, as I'll show below. The other thing to watch this week, of course, is the euro, as well as the US dollar, because the markets are really moving with those instruments. Okay, so let's go and get started and look at the charts below. First off, item number two shows you the economic news for this week for the U.S. As you can see, it's a full news week. The big items, of course, are the initial jobless claims on Thursday, which improved last week, so continue to watch that, see if those continue to dip, as well as the big jobs report on Friday. And, of course, there's a lot of other news here as well. And, of course, again, we have to be aware of anything coming out of Europe. Again, anything coming out of Europe trumps anything out of the U.S. here. So big news coming out of Europe can either cause big market gaps and rallies or big sell-offs. Again, it makes swing trading very difficult. A lot of people are just day trading, taking profits quickly because, again, the market's gapping all the time. Next, item number three shows you a table of the whole general stock market from last week. And as you can see, solid red here. In fact, the U.S. market had the worst Thanksgiving since 1932. So, huge down week for the market. Didn't have the typical rally that it does during Thanksgiving week. You can see the S&P and Dow lost, you know, a about 4.75%. NASDAQ lost 5%. Russell 2000 lost 7%. And the individual sectors below that lost anywhere from 7 to 6 to 5%. So huge down week here. Commodities, as you can see below that, a lot of red here too. CRB index, though, fared a little bit better, only down 2.2%. But the commodity stocks via the CRX index lost 6.43%. Crude oil fared pretty well, only down about just a little over 0.5%. But oil and energy stocks were down 6 to 7%. Gold was down 2.3%, silver down 3%. But gold stocks lagged as well. So again, a lot of red here. In fact, the only real thing you see up here in commodities are, well, the U.S. dollar was up, but natural gas is up 10%, a big week for that, and livestock was up. Doubt too many of you trade livestock. Okay, so let's go and get into charts here, guys. The first chart below, item number 4, simply shows you a 5-minute ES chart. This is S&P 500 futures, in case you don't know. And if you look, ES futures closed around 11:53 on Friday. Friday was a half trading day in the U.S., and currently tonight they're trading up around 1178. So you're looking at about a 22-point move to the upside. There is a little divergence on the indicators, so we'll see if we get a pullback here. Again, anyone's guess tomorrow where futures are open, we'll just have to see. Nearest support would be that yellow dotted line. That's R1 pivot. That's 1172.67. And if futures rally higher, resistance would be the R2 pivot above in blue. That's 1185. Okay, but we'll see if this big gap holds or not tomorrow on the open. Next, chart number 5 is a 120-minute chart of the euro dollar, and the market has moved inverse, or has been moving relative to the euro and inverse to the U.S. dollar. As the euro has fallen since mid-November, the market has fallen. Now, the euro here is forming into a obvious bullish falling wedge with some positive divergence in place. And you can see tonight it bounced off support, the lower trend line of the wedge. If anything can cause a decent market rally, it would be this euro, if it can break up out of this wedge. For now, tonight, you know, simply it's reacting off of support. You know, it still hasn't broken out of the wedge. So it could definitely have another leg down in the wedge, etc. But just pointing this out, if this really broke out to the upside, that would provide the fuel for the market to finally have a decent oversold rally. And of course, what would cause this to break out would be more positive news from Europe, most likely. Next, let's look at the S&P 500, chart number 6. It's a daily S&P 500 chart. Again, you can see the symmetrical triangle pattern that had formed in November. Energy was building, we talked about that. Typically, triangles break in the direction that they form, but this one broke to the downside. That's why we stated to react to the direction that it broke. And those of you following it could have shorted the market on a break of this triangle to the downside. Anyway, as you can see currently, the S&P has retraced basically 61.8% of the whole October rally. So this is a major support, you know, this Fibonacci support. This is an area the market needs to hold in here. You know, really you don't want to see it go too much below this. If it can hold in here, then the market still has the potential for this to be, you know, form a higher low here, be a wave C, ABC correction, and then for it to have an end of year rally. But if it goes too much below this area, which also corresponds to a 10% correction, then the odds would start to favor a complete retracement to the October lows and maybe break the October lows. Okay, so really you want to hold around in this area. We'll see what it does here. But for now, you know, futures are up, so we'll see if we get this bounce. Definitely overdue in the short term. Market's been down many, many days in a row, so that means it's the rubber band stretched. Definitely due for some kind of retracement rally. But again, we need to see this 61.8% area hold. Again, a few points below, it doesn't matter. You know, just around this area, you want to see it hold. The bulls want to see it hold, okay? And the bears want to see this break eventually. Next, chart number 7 is the 60-minute view of the S&P 500. You can see this nice symmetrical triangle pattern that had formed in mid-November, and it cleanly broke to the downside, been a nice steep sell-off since then. Again, you can see it's closed right around the 61.8% Fibonacci retracement on Friday. There is some positive divergence in the 60-minute time frame via the MACD and the RSIs above. The reason why I show you the S&P 500 is because, you know, most of the individual commodity stocks look like this as well. They have divergences on their 60-minute time frames via the MACDs and other indicators. So everything is looking very similar. That's why I stated that if the market has a bounce here, more than likely you're going to see it spill over into commodities. But if the market continues to sell off and weaken, then I think you're going to see commodities continue to weaken. So that's why, even though this is the commodity newsletter, I'm covering the general market as well. Chart number 8 shows you another 60-minute S&P chart. Again, the bullish view would be that this is an ABC correction, with this being wave C that's going to end around in here. The bearish view would be with this being a wave 3 down. And an oversold bounce would be a wave 4, and then you get another sell-off in a wave 5. All right, so we'll see what happens here. And next, chart number 9 is a 15-minute view of the S&P. Again, very nice, tight downtrend channel. You had a very pretty symmetrical triangle pattern that broke down in November 16th. But again, nice channel in the short term with a little bull wedge inside the channel with some positive divergence. So we'll see if it can break up out of this downtrend channel. Again, your resistance is your downtrend line. Also watch the longer period stochastics below the 89, 144. The 20% area is resistance. They've been under that area for a long time. Generally, these longer stochastics, when they've been below 20% for many days in a row, you're due for some kind of bounce. Next, chart number 10 is a NIMO. It's the McClellan Oscillator. And if you just look at the chart here, pretty simple. I really only care about it when it gets quite overbought, when it's above the red line, and quite oversold when it's below the green line. And you can see it closed well under the green line last week on Friday. So it's quite oversold here. You know, wouldn't be surprised to see an oversold bounce here with things stretched. Okay, next set of charts I want to go over. The next set of charts here is a set of charts I covered last Friday. It's talking about the Thanksgiving trading week, which, again, as I stated in the opening comments, was the worst Thanksgiving week ever, basically. And these are some item number 11 shows you a snapshot taken from bespoke.com. That's the website if you want to look at it. But they did a comparison here, a table. So no reason for me to recreate it, giving them credit. And again, they show you that as of Wednesday's close, the S&P lost 4.43%, which was lower than all the previous Thanksgiving trading weeks. And on Friday closed down slightly as well, and so it was a down Friday. So again, pretty bad Thanksgiving week. Let's go and look at some previous, let's go look at all the previous Thanksgiving weeks on this table, however, and see what happened after all these bad Thanksgiving weeks. So first off, chart number 12 below is the current 2011 Thanksgiving week. Again, you can see this, you know, sell-off that we've had. Next, number 13 shows you Thanksgiving week from 2007. And you can see, again, had a nice sell-off going into it. And then the next week, 2 days into it, the market had a, you know, a decent oversold rally that lasted a couple weeks. Formed a lower high, then sold off again strongly into the new year. But again, it did have a decent oversold bounce, as you can see. Next, chart number 14 is Thanksgiving week from 2000. Again, you can see right afterwards you at least had some kind of choppy bounce. Didn't go too far, but it did have a, you know, at least a little oversold bounce. Chart number 15 is Thanksgiving week from 1994. And you can see that you had a quick bounce that lasted about a week, then another pullback into early December, then you had a really big rally into the new year. Next, chart number 16 is Thanksgiving from 1982. Again, you can see you had a rally for a couple weeks, at least, nice oversold bounce, and yet another pullback, etc. Now, chart number 17 is Thanksgiving from 1973. Now here, the market continued to fall for another 2 weeks into early December, as you can see. But then after that, it started, you know, at bottom, then had some oversold rallies into the new year. And chart number 18 is Thanksgiving from 1956. You can see you sold off for a few more days the next week, but then you had a pretty strong bounce into the new year. you know, and then another sell-off. But again, you had a pretty strong bounce lasting about a month shortly after Thanksgiving. And chart number 19 is Thanksgiving from 1948. The following week, you had a sell-off that lasted 2 days, and then you had a decent oversold rally into the new year. Again, point is, doesn't have to occur, but you could see generally the mark after these bad Thanksgivings in the past, the market is usually put in some kind of oversold rally, either, you know, immediately or a couple days later. The worst case scenario was 2 weeks later. So we'll see if we get that here in the short term. Okay, again, I'm just providing statistics and history for you. Okay, now let's jump into the commodity charts with chart number 20. Chart number 20 is a daily chart of the CRB commodity index. Again, it represents a basket of commodities. Really nothing's changed here. It topped out in April. It's had a nice correction since then. It bottomed in early October at the 61.8% fib. Again, use those fibs, guys. The market responds to them. It then rallied up. Didn't get over that downtrend line. I thought it would pull back, and that's what it's done. The question is it going to form a higher low here? If it does, you know, then maybe it can rally and take out the downtrend line eventually. Again, this is just like the S&P. Is it going to form a higher low here or not? We'll just have to see. Chart number 21 is the 60-minute chart of DBC. That's the commodity ETF that follows the CRB above. And you can see here that it's retraced in the 60-minute time frame almost 61.8% of the October rally. Reason why I point that out is because the S&P 500 retraced about 61.8%. So again, see how they're very similar, and you have a little divergence here on the MACD as well. Next, let's look at crude oil. Chart number 22 is a weekly chart of crude, which again was only down 0.65% last week, so it held up pretty good. The weekly view, I'm showing you this because it has been struggling at that broken trend line, which I showed a couple weeks back. So far that's played out. Now let's look at the daily chart. Chart number 23 is a daily view of crude. And you can see it stopped right at that resistance band that I pointed out a couple weeks ago. Broke that steep uptrend line. But for now, it's been trying to find some support at this 50-day moving average. You know, again, after that big strong move. So we'll see if it holds in here or not. I would watch also the ratio just above this. This is the ratio of oil stocks to crude oil just above there. And you can see oil stocks are leading to the downside right now. You want to see the ratio turn up here because generally it's more positive when oil stocks are leading versus the commodity leading. Next, chart 24 is Brent crude oil. Some of our British members wanted me to follow that. Really not much to say here. It's kind of in a channel. Again, we'll see how it reacts here. Next, let's look at the ETFs. Chart number 25 is the 60-minute view of USO. And you can see that it's formed had formed a bearish rising wedge over a week ago. That broke down, and it's been testing this 130 simple moving average. Why am I using an odd moving average like that? Because that's essentially equal to this 20-day moving average. Remember, there's 6.5 trading hours in a day. 6.5 times 20 is 130. That's where I get that. Currently, it's forming a little triangle pattern here, so we'll see if it breaks up or down. Currently, tonight, crude oil futures are up. Chart number 26 is the 15-minute view. You can see the triangle pattern a little better here. And let's look at energy stocks. Chart number 27 is the 3-time energy ETF, ERX. I showed this last week. I showed this symmetrical triangle pattern. Again, that looked just like the S&P 500 triangle pattern. If you look at the S&P 500 60-minute chart, it looks just like this. Okay, so that's why I state everything is moving together. But you can see, and it's also in the steep downtrend channel along with it. There's positive divergence on the MACD below, just like the S&P. And next, just for comparison purposes, chart number 28 is a 60-minute view of the S&P 500 on the same chart settings as the ERX 60-minute view above. Notice how they look identical, exactly the same. Same triangle, same channel, same MACD. Again, that's why I said in the opening comments that everything is moving together, guys. Next, chart number 29 is the 15-minute view of ERX. Again, looks just like the S&P 500 15-minute view. Downtrend channel, potential wedge in the channel. We'll see if we get a bounce out of this channel. Resistance is obviously the downtrend line. A break of that would provide you with a trade long. Next, let's look at gold metal. Chart number 30 is a weekly view of gold. You can see it was down 2.38%. So far, it's holding this long-term uptrend line from the 2008 lows. And one thing to watch, too, is the RSI at the top. Notice that 50% area has been acting as support for quite a long time. Next, chart number 31 is a daily view of gold with the key moving averages on it. Especially lately, the 150-day moving average in green has been acting as major support. Remember, gold is in a secular bull market, and in secular bull markets, you buy pullbacks versus chasing extended rallies. So buying all these pullbacks of the 150-day moving average has proved very profitable for gold bugs. He had an opportunity twice, once in September and once in October here recently. Recently, gold, you know, rallied up to about 1,800. I didn't think it would break out at that time. I thought it would probably form a lower high. It did, and it's pulled back. It got close to the 150-day moving average here. The question is this the bottom, and is it ready to rally up to new highs, or will it eventually break this 150-day moving average, maybe make a new low? If it does that, which I show in red, by the way, if it does that, then I would view it as an ABC correction with the sell-off and to the late September, early October lows being wave A, the bounce up to 1,800 being wave B, and then a sell-off, another sell-off being a wave C. Honestly, I would love to see that, guys, because then we could buy gold at much lower prices. I like buying gold on pullbacks. I love it. But again, that may not occur. Gold may just find support here and rally up. We'll just have to see. Again, I think it's going to, if the general market, S&P 500 and Dow, make higher lows and then rally up for an end-of-year rally, then I think gold is going to do the same. Okay, and I think it all depends on what Europe does. If Europe decides to go ahead and print their way out of their mess, print money, run the printing presses, then I think it's going to be bullish for gold, and gold is going to go to new highs. All right. Currently, gold's up about $20 tonight. Actually, up $26. Next, chart 32 is another view of gold, a little shorter-term view. Again, is this wave C down now, or is it just going to form support over this trend line here and then rally up to new highs? Again, I think it's going to depend on if Europe turns on their printing presses or not. Honestly, again, like I said, I would rather have gold sell off and go down in wave C. Would love it. Love to buy it on a more of a pullback, but we may not get that. May find the lows may be in. That key, though, is that trend line and the 150-day moving average. That's the key support, guys. Next, chart 33 is a 60-minute view of GLD. Again, you can see that bear wedge that I pointed out a couple weeks back clearly played out to the downside. So hopefully you took heed because gold had a nice correction. And where did it find support? Found support at the 61.8% retracement of the October rally, as you can see. Next, let's look at gold stocks. We're going to use GDX, the ETF, as the proxy. Chart number 34 is the daily Renko chart of GDX. You get your buy and sell signals via the parabolic SAR dots. This was put together by a member of ours at Breakpoint Trades. Think of it like a mechanical system. You get your buy and sell signals by these arrows. Works very well. Doesn't work perfect. It gives you whipsaws once in a while, but it'll also catch nice trends. I'm using a 0.6 box size here, and currently this is still on a sell signal from November 9th. Continue to watch it, however. Next, chart 35 is a daily view of GDX. Showing you this because, you know, it's been a trader's market for GDX. While gold over the last year and a half, it's been better to own gold. Gold's really rallied strongly since that time. GDX, gold stocks have not. You can see it's been best to be a trader in gold stocks. You can see going all the way back to 2010, October, you have big rallies to the upside, then pullbacks, then rally, then pullback, rally, pullback. It's like a big sine wave, up and down and up and down, and even this last time. So it's been better to buy GDX on dips rather than buying and holding. Buying and holding has not worked over the last year and a half, as you can see. And next, chart 36 is a 60-minute view of GDX. Again, you can see it also had a bearish rising wedge in the 60-minute view, similar to GLD that played out. And it's a little below the 61.8% fib. If gold stays up tonight, I imagine this will gap up in the morning. Chart 37 is a 15-minute view of GDX. Short-term resistance to that downtrend line. Again, I would expect a gap tomorrow morning. Watch to see if this downtrend line is cleared or not. The other thing to watch is the ratio at the top, the GDX-GLD ratio, nice trend line there. Watch to see if it gives a buy signal. In the last set of charts, we're going to look at copper. Chart number 38 is a weekly chart of copper, which is down 3.6%. Again, we'll see if it can form a higher low here or not. I would watch the trend line on the MACD below and the stochastics of 60 period, see if it can stay above 20%. Next, chart number 39 is the daily view of copper. Resistance is the downtrend line and the 65-day moving average in blue. And you can see it's retraced right around 61.8% here. So this is a support area. Again, just like the S&P, notice how it's retraced about 61.8% of the October rally, just like the S&P. Again, we'll see if it forms a higher low or not. Again, commodities are moving with the general market. Next chart number 40 is another view of copper. Next chart number 41 is the ETF, shows you the volume. Obviously, the same chart. Volume has still been light to the downside, though. And chart number 42 is the 60-minute view of JJC, the copper ETN, little channel here to watch. There is some positive divergence in the 60-minute view. And chart number 43 is a comparison chart of copper with the S&P 500. I'm using JJC for copper and S&P, of course, for S&P. Copper is in red. Notice how the two tend to move lockstep with each other. Once in a while, they diverge, like back in early May. And, of course, recently here in early November, the S&P had rallied a lot more than copper. Copper was lagging, and lo and behold, that was another negative sign. Copper has pulled the general market back to it. So it pays to watch copper if you're trading the market. And, you know, these two trade together even on a 5-minute time frame. As you can see on the last chart, chart number 44, you can see how copper and the S&P 500 are just lockstep together, even on the 5-minute chart. That's why I state, guys, follow copper. If you're following general market, it tends to lead, even on small time frames like a 5-minute chart. All right, guys, that does it. Let's see what happens this week. Talk to you later. Have a great evening and have a nice week. Thank you.